welcome to Let's Talk with Andy and Kath Taylor, a podcast from LL Ministries. And, well, we are going through some bonkers days, and we thought perhaps today, Catherine, we could talk about how the enemy likes to get in there and interfere and cause chaos, didn't we?
Yeah. You're not just talking about us personally having bonkers days. You mean the whole world?
The world
is having a bit
has
of a
gone
bonker.
Bonkers.
Yeah, it's gone a little bonkers, hasn't it? It's going bonkers. But we're the enemy's involvement in all of that.
Well, it's probably hard enough if you took him out of the picture completely. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, I don't know, on a different planet. And there were no spiritual forces against God's purposes. And we just had people involved. That would probably be challenging enough.
Fallen people, yeah.
Yeah. So, but when you throw that in the mix as well, it does get a little more complicated.
I think it's interesting. I think this is going to be an interesting chat for us, because sometimes, don't you think that we as Christians, either the enemy is completely irrelevant and he isn't even a thing, or the enemy is huge and he's massive and he's to
everywhere.
Blame for everything.
Yeah, it's true. One extreme or the other.
Yeah. And I think that we were extremes, weren't we? We personally even have constantly trying to find.
There's a sweet spot in the middle, isn't there? And I guess the scripture that says that we shouldn't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes and devices. So that to me is an important verse, because from my point of view, to be honest, I'd rather just not think about him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Mm, absolutely.
But I also don't want to become obsessed with him. Mm-hmm. And everything's about him. I stub my toe, the enemy did it. And, you know, every time I sneeze, or the enemy's having a go at me. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking about the enemy more than we're thinking about the Lord almost. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, there is a sweet spot where we're fully holding on to God, but we're also aware of what the enemy's doing.
Yeah, quite interesting. It's almost like we planned it, but we didn't. our last podcast was about being human. Ah. So there's that element in it. And I think sometimes I think, oh, you know, is this just me? Is this the enemy? What, you know, it is quite a hard thing to unravel, isn't it? Sometimes from, is it our feelings? And you get tired. You think, oh, you get tired of blaming the enemy almost. But we need that discernment, don't we? So maybe as we chat today, it'll help sharpen our discernment is what we need.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, I'm looking out the window now and it is a beautiful spring day. So blue sky in the northwest of England. Mm. I mean, that is, let's just freeze frame right there. And I can see the trees and it's all beautiful. And I don't think about the spiritual realm that exists, that the Bible's very clear about, and the principalities and powers and the rulers and this, you know, it doesn't enter my head. So I do need to become, I need the Lord to bring an awareness that there is a spiritual reality going on that is against the people of God and the purposes of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, I grew up in a church where we didn't really, there was nothing taught about the enemy. I think, you know, the enemy kind of can't touch you sort of feeling. If you're born again, then the enemy can't touch you. And when I first came to LL, I was very young. I was only 18. And listening to teaching and understanding how the enemy can get holds in our lives and understanding the spiritual realm, it totally made me. Well, talking about bonkers, I think it made me bonkers. I remember the first trip I went home and I went around my mum and dad's house telling my mum basically that all of her flower fairy plates that were hung on the wall that she'd merrily collected for years were demons and...
great wisdom.
Oh, zero wisdom, zero.
Yeah.
And caused trouble, really. Probably, you know, I think my family thought I was completely nuts. But I think that we can sometimes be a bit zealous in trying to help people be free from holds of the enemy.
Yeah. But also, I think one of the big things I've learned is that, yes, you can think about the enemy in terms of like the big ticket things, like someone was demonized and then they were delivered. Like that's a major thing. And we see it in the Gospels, the Gadarene demoniac and all these various people that came to Jesus and they were demon oppressed and they were, you know, they're flung to the floor and they're having epileptic fits and all that, you know, all this stuff's going on. It's like, whoa, you know, this is heavy duty. and we kind of categorize everything of the enemy kind of fits into that heavy duty category.
Mm.
But we forget the kind of more subtle, nuanced, undermining, discouraging,
yeah,
condemning work that the enemy has, tempting. If you think of the Garden of Eden at the very beginning, it was a slithery snake just saying, well, you know, did God really say that? And sowing that seed of doubt and putting that temptation in the path. And I think that's the bigger area that we forget about.
Yes.
In normal life, is how much opposition there is from the God of this world and from the principalities and powers that work in the more subtle. It's like more stealth warfare than in your face rah, kind of warfare.
Yeah. So that would be really good, wouldn't it? Just to think of some of those things. So the word, as you're saying that comes to my mind is discouragement.
Right.
Like how much the enemy is just whispering discouragement. I mean, he the scripture, isn't there? Is it John?
It's John, yeah.
It's John.
John.
And it is, you know which one I mean?
John 10:10.
Dang, you see, I did know. You knew.
Yeah.
You knew. Oh, that's great. Yeah, John 10:10 says, the enemy came to rob, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life in all its fullness. I think I quoted that pretty perfectly.
Not bad, not bad.
Pretty, I reckon that was like a 9 out of 10.
You avoided the heretic category, so that's good.
The versions where I intermingle the lyrics from Hillsong songs and things. Yeah, anyway, so the enemy came to rob, steal and destroy. And that can mean, you know, for our marriage or big, big things, but it can also mean our courage in day-to-day life, our peace, yeah.
Yeah.
Our hope, our enthusiasm, our relationships, all kinds of things. So so how do we see that, Andy? How do we see this discouragement and get hold of it and tell it to go in the name of Jesus? Because I'm like pumped. I'm really pumped by this. I do get a little bit pumped, don't I?
You do.
Because I feel like, God's got so much more freedom for us.
Right.
So we need that freedom.
So this is not something that I think we work out on our own. This, I think, is what comes out of an ever closer relationship with the Father, right? Mm-hmm. And whose spirit lives in us, who then will say to us in our spirit, hey, look, you're under attack here. You need to stand up and you need to push back in my name and you need to be able to discern what's really going on here. Like, what is just my natural feeling and what is the enemy trying to do and how's he operating even through people around me so that we can stand firm. So this is not about us suddenly becoming paranoid about everything. Like, oh, I feel this, I see that, I feel that. It must be the enemy. But about this plate, to me, the further we get into this topic, I think, should be more peace.
Mm.
And I've seen and witnessed people who got into the kind of subject of the enemy, and literally peace was the last thing you saw.
Mm.
Everything was, oh, well, if I do that, then the enemy's going to clobber me and he's over there and he's over here and he's in that and he's on that. Well, that is not peace to me. So the hallmark of us being closer to the Lord is more peace.
Mm.
Must be, mustn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But more discerning.
Yeah.
About what's really going on.
Mm. Well, when I just had people might think this is manufactured, but I literally just had this picture in my mind of a leech. I've never had a leech, but I'm terrified of them. If anyone says there's leeches in water, it's about the only thing that will stop me going
in.
But
you swim in lakes all the time.
There's no leeches, Andy.
Of course there are.
There are not leeches.
There are rats
stop
in
it.
There. There
no.
Are, yeah, eels.
No.
There's some terrible creatures
no,
in those.
There that
are.
Is not true.
I'm just saying. I stand
lying.
On the side with the towel. Yeah.
There's not leeches.
No, there are.
No. I'm not going again. Anyway, a leech, terrifying, horrible things. But I've seen pictures and they stick to you and they suck your blood.
Oh, what?
Oh, I know. And that's what the enemy's doing to us. We're human beings, like we were talking on the last podcast, human beings. And the enemy is sticking to us and trying to suck that lifeblood from us. And we've got to realize what is ours. Like, we might feel discouraged. We might feel heavy, we might feel low, we might feel depressed. But we want to separate what is us from the enemy.
Right.
And when I, this is quite a new thing for me, but lately I have been trying to bring that separation. And you feeling, you know, you just, oh, I just feel this. But learning to stop and say, enemy, I just bind you off my emotions. Like, this is enough for me to feel and cope with in this moment.
Without your interference.
Without right. your nonsense and right. without your stuff. Like, you just saw kind of like bringing this separation between him and me and just silencing him and binding him in the name of Jesus. And now maybe I am left with feeling sad or feeling discouraged or feeling, I don't know, even a bit hopeless, whatever the feeling is, I'm still left with it. But then I can bring that to God. And I'm finding there's such a freedom in that, because when you're trying to work out what is me, what is the enemy, and trying desperately to reach out and hold out for God, it's challenging.
Yeah. And I think, as you're saying that, I was just thinking about, I was just reading this morning, actually, I'm towards in the tail end of the book of John. The book of John, not chapter 10, verse 10, but the book of John, around the time of the crucifixion. And of course, at that time, Jesus was in the garden, and the Bible tells us that he was troubled, like deeply troubled. And yet it wasn't because the enemy was doing stuff with him, although, of course, the enemy was involved around. But his response was to go to the Father with his human emotions
yeah.
of being troubled. And so it's not like everything is the enemy,
no.
like you're saying. Like, there's, I was thinking about it earlier, that the enemy's real tactics are to defile, like, whatever that's through, and to try to wrongly define us. Mm. So we end up feeling that something that God wouldn't say about us. And I feel like the enemy's all over all of that all the time. Defile, and I'm going to redefine you so that you're not in the image of God and you're not his beloved son or daughter, and you're, you know, and I'm going to tempt you into this so that more defilement comes into you. I'm going to cause your, you know, your bitterness to overflow so that you're more defiled, and all this stuff. But we just have to follow the model of Jesus, where he was in the middle of all that turmoil of coming to the place of the crucifixion, and yet he was able to just be himself, but be with the Father,
yeah,
and process that with the Father.
Mm. So one of the ways he comes is he brings discouragement and temptations, whispers temptations to us. I think one of the major ways he comes is with imaginations.
Yeah, big time.
Like, oh, they think that about you, or, you know, they think this, or, you know, that temptation. Again, it's temptation, but temptation to almost get inside other people's brains,
yeah,
and work out what they're thinking and
what their motives are.
Mm.
What did they really mean when they said that nice thing? But did they really mean it yeah. nicely?
Yeah,
I've got this thing about this that I don't know what you think about this, but I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay,
I'm just
not remotely dangerous on a podcast.
No, well, that's normally how we do the podcast. Anyway, I'm just thinking about, I wonder how much time and emotional energy I have literally flushed down the toilet by the imagination train.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've spent hours and hours thinking, yeah, but this might happen and that might happen. And what about this? And what about that? Of course, none of those things end up happening. And if I add up that amount of time that
hasn't helped anything.
That I wasn't sleeping properly, or I felt anxious in my stomach, or I, you know, whatever it was that was going on, I want that. I don't want to do that anymore. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I want that time. I mean, if I could get that time back, that would be wonderful. But come on, why would I waste my time thinking about the what ifs of life and mm-hmm. the, well, what if they meant that? And what if they do this? And what if that happens? And what if, you know, and we can think about it just for our personal life. We can think about it for our nation. We can think about it with global politics, with all the Trump, China, you name it, going on at the moment, all the imaginations.
The what ifs, it always comes with what if, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but who loves stirring that pot?
Mm.
It must be the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He must love it, because it pulls us. If you think about the fruit of it is always lack of peace.
Yeah. But that's why that scripture says, cast down every imagination and and walking out of fear. It's such a massive, massive insight to recognize it is the enemy, but to say in that moment when your imagination's going off. I mean, this is my story with thinking that, you know, illnesses and thinking all kinds of things and what if, and I could picture myself at the hospital with this imaginary, you know, and I could almost feel the emotion of what I was going to feel and how I was, because your brain is trying to cope because the enemy's put this seed in of,
and somehow it feels like if I could make a plan ahead of time, then it's going to be easier.
Yeah,
but I'm
exactly.
making a plan for something completely imaginary.
And then the weird thing is, it's like, okay, I feel like this moment of peace, a little bit like I've got a plan. And then it's like it's gone and you've forgotten it.
Right.
Or the what if comes in a different way and you're like, okay, I've got to start again.
Because it never ends.
A different plan. No, because it's horrible. It's torment. And the breakthrough with fear in that area really is to say, well, bind the enemy and silence you, enemy. And I recognize you are on my emotions and on my imagination. And I silence you in the name of Jesus. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. But then saying to God, Lord, I have to, because the thing about God is he meets us in truth. He doesn't meet us in our imagination of what if. He meets us in truth. Where I am today, ooh, an ambulance or police car.
Let's not imagine what that's all about.
No. Where I am today, would you meet me? Would you help me? And, you know, maybe it's like a spot on your arm that you've gone on the imagination train down to, I don't know, Cornwall, of where that's going to end up. But Lord, I just stop that and I stay right here, right now with you. There's this spot on my arm and I want to ask you to come in and bring your peace and to help me in this moment and to trust you that the next step and the next step and the next step, you'll be with me.
Because that's truth, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That is truth. At the moment, okay, there is a spot on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, there is one. The truth is, I don't know what it is.
No.
So I'm going to come to you now with that, without all the other stuff that comes with it.
Yeah. So he comes with imaginations and temptations, accusations, comes with condemnation, guilt, shame.
Yeah.
Reminding us.
Yeah, it's the reminders. And I think the key to breaking out of that is for us to really receive the Lord's forgiveness, don't you think? Like, I think one of the big things for us as God's people, one of the most amazing gifts of the gospel, of what Jesus did, was that we could literally have the burden and the guilt and the shame of our actual we did it sin lifted from us. How beautiful is that? But very often we don't actually, we might repent, say we're sorry, we really mean it before the Lord, but we don't actually receive his forgiveness. So we still hold on to the guilt and the shame. We are actually forgiven, but we've not received it. And that then is absolute food for the enemy to say, yep, remember, you're a piece of garbage, you're disqualified. If people knew what you were really like, et cetera, the story goes. But actually, if I really receive it, if I say, wow, Lord, you actually have done this, you have washed me, I am clean. I can, as it says in Hebrews, I can boldly approach the throne of grace. Not because I'm amazing, but because of what you did, Jesus. I am cleansed. Then when the enemy comes and says, well, remember when, I can, the more this becomes real for me, I can say, well, yeah, but that's covered.
Mm.
It's dealt with. This accusation loses its power very quickly, actually. So a big part of it is to say, Lord, please help me to receive your forgiveness.
Yeah. And apply what God, I mean, that's the power of God's cross. We do get a little bit lax, don't we? We get a little bit kind of, oh, yeah, the power of the cross. And, you know, you were mentioning, we've mentioned all the way through, I mean, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, this gift we've been given of the Holy Spirit. Like, that is massive. Like, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit in me. No, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. Like, the power of scriptures. To not just be like, oh, that's nice, or that's, oh, well, I'm from, you know, I know that scripture a lot, and like these scriptures they change things. They push back the enemy.
Yeah.
There's scriptures, you know, when we're afraid, when we're anxious, that he is a strong tower and a shelter and a firm foundation. We kind of have to really declare that over ourselves and over our lives, don't we? And not just, I don't know, kind of just become a bit, is it over familiarity breeds contempt? I don't know, do we just get a bit over familiar, like with the cross and with the Holy Spirit? Like, no, this is huge.
Yeah. And it's what Jesus did, this thing about using the word too, wasn't it? When he was under like a direct assault from the enemy in the wilderness for 40 days. And there's this moment where Satan says, you know, you're hungry, turn this rock into bread. But Jesus' response isn't, no, I'm not going to do that. He goes straight to the scripture, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. He knew the word, yeah. And he knew that actually the bread was irrelevant because his father could sustain him with or without bread. And so the holding on to God's word and using God's word as proclamation is super powerful. Just thinking about the scripture in Isaiah 43. No.
That's not 43, Andy. Oh, no. That's Isaiah 54.
I haven't got my glasses on.
Your glasses.
When in the north.
Yeah, exactly.
Speak as a northerner. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, it's in Isaiah 54. Verse 17, be well-known passage or verse for many people, I imagine, but it says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So I think this verse is a great one to use as a declaration.
Mm.
Because it's from the Lord, like the Lord's declared it for who? For the servants of the Lord. So that's us. So we immediately apply to that verse. And then these weapons that are being fashioned, they're being designed against us. God's saying, you declare it, none of that.
Yeah.
None of that will prosper. None of that will succeed. And we shall, not even God shall, but we shall refute. That's an interesting point, isn't it? We kind of want everybody else to fight for us sometimes, but we shall refute. Mm. So there's something that has to rise up in us and say, hang on, no, you know, and what are we refuting? Every tongue or every word that rises against us in judgment.
Mm.
So we just stand against that, not particularly against the people, but against the enemy's power behind it. And the way that is designed to pull us down and destroy. We say, no, we're not going to stand for that.
Mm.
We're going to refute it because we are servants of the Lord.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful. It's one of the scriptures, isn't it, that Derek Prince uses as a proclamation. And I think to take these scriptures and to use them even in our own words and to say it from ourselves is really powerful.
I guess the thing is we would ask the Lord to show us what we're really up against.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're saying, this thing about separating out what is just me and my own emotion and what is the enemy and what's going on spiritually around me. And we just bind everything of the enemy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Just shall we do it now?
Silence it.
Should we just do it now? Let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Why not?
So if you're listening now, like what is it you're struggling with? What are you struggling with, Andy? You don't have to tell us all. Don't worry.
Yes,
but we can just have a moment, can't we?
We haven't got long enough.
Right, we can just have a moment. We just still our hearts, Lord. Where is the battle in our hearts? Where is the fear, the anxiety,
the overwhelm,
Yeah, the feelings, the
accusation, the judgments.
Should we just have a bit of quiet and think? And we just bring in that to you, God. And in the name of Jesus, we just silence you, enemy, and we separate you and your nonsense and your involvement from this now. In the name of Jesus, we bind you.
Yeah.
Bind you off our emotions. We separate you off everything that's even real circumstance, we separate you off and we push you back in the name of Jesus. And we bring our humanity, our personhood to you, God.
Yeah. And we choose, Lord, to stand in you and on you and with you as our loving Heavenly Father. And we even use the words of this verse, and I just encourage you, wherever you're listening to this, that if you feel connected to what we're talking about, that you speak this out yourself. I'll go through it kind of line by line, but you speak it yourself, like really, like it's a step of faith, isn't it? It's a rising up. I think the enemy loves to tell us to sit down and to be quiet, and the Lord's always saying, stand up and use the voice I've put in you.
The authority that I've given you.
Yeah, the authority in Jesus' name. So we say that no weapon that is forged and fashioned against me shall succeed.
Yeah.
And we refute in Jesus' name every tongue and word that rises against us in judgment.
So it could be imaginations, it could be the enemy's whisperings, it could be all the what ifs, it could be people's opinions of us, it's all of that stuff. Yeah, we just say it again, Andy. Say it again there, but.
And we refute every tongue, every word that rises against us in judgment. And we do this because this is the heritage, this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, us as God's people, our inheritance. And this is our vindication from you, Lord. And you have declared it. So we stand on that in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, for your peace, your freedom, your life to come, that you would lift off each one of us, Lord, the heaviness and the overwhelm and the pushing down of the enemy. We just pray a lifting of that in Jesus' name.
And the torment and the discouragement. We just push you back, enemy, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
God, would you break through? We reach out for that amazing Holy Spirit that you've given us, that's in us. We pray it would just, your life would breathe afresh into us and into our spirits and agree with your Holy Spirit, and truth would come.
If there's chaos in our life, Lord, because we've really made some pretty dire mistakes and choices that have led us down a path that's not your path, Lord, then would you forgive us and cleanse us and set us free, Lord, from everything that's been authorized by the enemy through our choices in doing that? Would you set us free, Lord?
Mm.
We want to walk with you. We want to be your followers, your apprentices, your disciples.
Mm.
We want to honor you and glorify you and please you. Help us to be, you know, hope givers in this world that has so little hope. Help us to know what it is to stand on your solid foundation, immovable solid foundation, while everything around shakes, while the mountains are trembling and the nations are quaking, Lord, that we would stand firm as your beloved.
Yeah. And knowing that you have us firm, knowing that you have us safe. And Lord, where there's a place is, even in the midst of all of this, Lord, where we're hurting and we have been bashed and bruised by people. It's not just that the enemy's whispering these things, but people have said things and done things. And where there's that hurt, as we bind you, enemy, and we separate you even from the hurt in our lives, because we don't need his nonsense playing into it as well. But as we get rid of those leeches, we're still left, Lord, with a need for healing. And we thank you that your cross, the power of your cross, that you are healer, Jesus. And we pray for your healing.
Mm.
Pray for healing, Lord. Pray for rebuilding and restoring.
Just share from one more scripture, another well-known one, Ephesians 6, that talks about the armour of God. And it talks about, it's a reminder that what we've been talking about, really, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's its principalities and powers and etc. But in verse 10, it starts off, before it gets into that, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I think that's the thing we have to hold on to here. This is not about how super amazing spiritual beings we are. We can be human and we can be weak actually in ourselves, but we rely on the might of our God, who, to be honest, the enemy quakes at. He's absolutely terrified of Almighty God. So that's who we hold on to. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the strength of his might. So whatever we're going through in our life, and for everybody it'll be different. You know, we've all got the global stuff going on, but in our own personal life, family, work, health issues, you name it, is all many and varied. It's about, Lord, I want to be strong in the strength of your might.
Because we do need to remember that he's so much bigger than the enemy. Like that, there is, like we said at the very beginning, people either make the enemy too big or they make him irrelevant, and he's, it's, you know, it's all sort of like horror movies or something. But God is so much bigger. It's not even a competition. It's a silly thing to say.
Infinite.
But the might and the power and what he did on the cross, that is real power.
Yeah. So the bottom line here is we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord.
Yes.
We are not ignorant of the enemy trying to bring discouragement, condemnation, criticism, you name it, throwing at us.
Division.
Division.
Condemnation.
We recognize it and we bind it and we push it away. We cast down the imaginations that are trying to rise up and cause us to go down some crazy mind-warping loop.
Yeah.
And we say, Lord, we trust you for every moment of every day because we are your beloved and we stay strong in you.
That's good, babe.
That's good. Nice one.
Good job.
Well, thanks for listening, and we will be with you again soon. Thanks for joining us for Let's Talk with Andy and Kath Taylor, a podcast from LL Ministries. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review or by contacting us at hello@ll.org or through Facebook. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we also have other excellent resources online at ll.org, which we hope you will enjoy. Thanks again for listening.